gifts. I remember a few Christmases ago, my son Sammy got this cool remote control car. And as he opened it up, he looked at it, and then he just started running around the house saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." It just kind of sprung out of him, because when you realize how good the gift is, then thanks just kind of springs out of your heart, doesn't it? And that's what's going on here in Psalm 136. It bursts with thanks to God. When you see how amazing the gifts are, then the only right response is thanks and praise. Have a look there. Verse 1 starts us off. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." There's the theme of the whole song. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because of who he is. He is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. It keeps going and it keeps going. This is the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, the only true God. He deserves the acknowledgement. That's what thanking someone is, isn't it? It's acknowledging how great the gift giver is. When you say thanks for something, what are you actually doing? You are acknowledging that that person who gave you something is good. That's what you're doing. And this song bursts with thanks over and over. You got the repetition, didn't you? His steadfast love endures forever. If you walk out of here with nothing else, you heard a lot of times, his steadfast love endures forever. Do you know why it's repeated so often? Apart from the fact it was probably a song and the congregation sang a bit and then the soloist sang the other bit, back and forth, back and forth. Do you know why it's repeated so often? So that we don't forget. His steadfast love endures forever. Now that word love, it is chesed. It's kind of one of the only Hebrew words I know, so don't think I'm very clever. But what it actually means is super glue. It means the super glue love from a promise, a covenant. It's the stuff that is kind of illustrated in a marriage, but it's bigger than that, between God and his people. Chesed love. His chesed love endures forever. That is, God is totally committed to his people for all time in a super glue kind of way. Do you get it? Well, the verses start off, did you see it as well? There's a few things to notice about the structure of the psalm before we get into the content of it. The verses start off, to him who, did you see that? It just goes through, to him who. And the implication, the silent implication is that to him who, give thanks to. So it doesn't stop in verses 1 to 3 when it says give thanks to him, give thanks to him. And then it just starts going, to him who. Which means, keep giving thanks to him who. Why? Because of his never-ending love. I like to say, I love you to my wifey. Actually, we've turned it into just, love you. Just kind of throw it out there. But imagine if I said, I love you, and then I went and kicked her in the shins for an hour. It wouldn't work, would it? If I said, I love you, and got up in the night time, because a kid was sick, or gave her something she really wanted, then she knows I actually love her. That's what this psalm is doing. It's saying, God loves you. And here's why. Three things: creation, rescue, inheritance. So firstly, give thanks to him who made everything. Should flick up there, thanks, Sean. Give thanks to him who made everything. Have a look, verses 4 to 9. Give thanks to him who alone does great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon, the stars to govern the night. For his steadfast love endures forever. For God's people, the creation of the world is the beginning, and no one did it but the Lord. No other God did it. The Lord did it. He is the one who has exclusive rights on being the creator. And he is the one who thought the whole thing up. Did you see that? Who, by his understanding, he made it up. He's like a husband spreading out a picnic blanket when he spreads out the world. He spread out the heavens and the earth. But did you see? It's not only space. God's great gift to his people is also time. We've got the two great markers there. Did you see them? The sun and the moon. They have the power to rule over the day and the night, but their ability to govern is only given by the Creator. See what's going on? We start with the creation, everything that is. Why do we give thanks to God? Because he made everything. 3 weeks before our daughter Kate was born, friends of ours had a baby boy, and we went to visit them. And the father was one of the proudest dads I've ever seen. He was just ogling over this little boy. And he was, oh, I can't believe he's ours. And the family all gathered around and they were just bursting out to thank someone. He actually even said, we're just so thankful. Who to? Who were they thankful to? It wasn't the God who made them. Are you thankful to the God who made you, gave you everything you have, the air you're breathing at the moment, the food you ate, the sun you're hiding from in your air conditioning? Are you thankful to him who made everything? Because most of the time, most people don't give thanks. In Romans chapter 1, it says this, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what he has made. You see it. You see the fingerprints of God in his creation, so that people are without excuse. Because why? Although they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, nor gave him thanks. Nor gave him thanks. That's us, isn't it? Most people in the world do not acknowledge that this is not their world. God made them and everything that is. Give thanks to him who made everything. Why? Because his steadfast love endures forever. Secondly, rescue. Creation, now rescue. Give thanks to him who rescues his people. Have a look from verse 10. Give thanks to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. You know the story? God has promised back in Genesis 12 that he would make his people big, large. Three promises: descendants, a special relationship, and land. Lots of people, a special relationship with God, and actual land. And God's people have become huge in Egypt. They're slaves for hundreds of years. And God rescues them out of slavery. He parts the sea and brings them into the promised land. It's called the promised land because it was promised. Yeah? And that is the big salvation moment in the Old Testament. That is the rescue moment in the Old Testament. And how are they to respond? They're to acknowledge that God did it in the way they live. They're to show their thanks by how they live. That's the law. The Torah is instruction on how to live in the land now that they are his special people. Give thanks to him who rescues people. See, how would you respond if you were dramatically saved like that? You'd walk through a huge sea and your enemies are behind you, about to kill you. You turn around and the sea collapses on them and you're on dry ground. It's amazing, isn't it? How would you respond to being rescued? A few years ago, a plane crashed shortly after taking off in Washington, D.C. in a river, and it was icy and very cold time of the year. And there was a bridge across the river that looked down to where exactly where the plane had crashed. And the news cameras just kind of lined up along the bridge, broadcasting this live. And then they showed this helicopter come over the top of the plane crash and drop a life belt down to rescue some people. But there was one guy who grabbed the life belt and then swam to someone else and hooked them on, and up went the other person. And down came the life belt again. And this to the same guy, instead of putting it on himself, he put it on someone else. And up they went and they were rescued. And he did this a number of times, 4 or 5 times, and then he drowned. And they asked on the TV, why doesn't he save himself? And do you know the answer? He doesn't save himself because he's out to save others. God is the great rescuer, and he's out to save you from sin and death. How do you respond to him who makes blind people see? How do you respond to him who walks on water, makes lame walk, makes lepers clean, deaf hear? How do you respond to him who hangs on a cross and cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? How do you respond to the one who died for your sins and was resurrected from the dead? How do you respond to the one who transfers people from the dominion of darkness, living for yourself, into the kingdom of light? How do you respond to Jesus Christ? Because we're not spectators on a bridge, are we? We're in the water. Jesus comes, dies on a cross. You may have heard this over and over and over again, but here's the question. When did you last thank God for sending Jesus to die on the cross? When did you get on your knees last and say from your heart, thanks? Give thanks to him who rescues his people, for his steadfast love endures forever. Creation, rescue, and lastly, inheritance. Give thanks to him who gives us an inheritance. Have a look from verse 16. To him who led his people through the wilderness, who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance to his servant Israel. For his steadfast love endures forever. So God rescues his people out of slavery in Egypt and leads them through into the promised land. He gives them the land he promised. But the problem was there were nations already in there. God got rid of them and gave his people that land. And the psalmist is saying, give thanks because God gave you that inheritance. Now, that's just a shadow, isn't it, of the reality for a Christian. The reality is Jesus Christ himself. The psalmist is opening up, he is raising up the idea of inheritance so that we can look back now and see Jesus has given us something far greater. Don't know if you've heard the story of Thelma Howard. I've got to put lots of stories in because it's December 28th. Okay, so here's another story. If you've not heard this story, her name is Thelma Howard. She died in 1981. And for years, she was the devoted maid of Walt Disney. So she would be the maid to Walt Disney. And every year, Walt would wander downstairs and give her a little envelope, Christmas gift. And she kind of thought, oh, maybe it's, you know, 20 bucks or something like that. She put it in her drawer and kept doing what you do when you're a maid to Walt Disney. Now, Thelma never realised what she had been given, but in 1981, she died in fairly extreme poverty. And as they were going through her possessions, they opened the drawer where all the envelopes she'd put from Walt were. And they discovered that they were shares in Disney Corporation, totaling about $10 million. She'd been sitting on great riches, but she hadn't known it. She wasn't able to enjoy it. God gives us great riches. Can you see how great the riches of God to you are? The creation, He makes us, He sustains us. Rescue, He rescues us from sin and death and an inheritance that will never fade. When you move into the New Testament, the true Israel becomes Jesus Christ Himself. He is the one who gets the inheritance. And as the Son of God, He brings us into it too. We are adopted in as His brothers and sisters. Romans 8 says we are adopted. Therefore, we have the inheritance too. Chapter 1 of Peter says, in His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. And you're thinking, how good is this thing? I'm not sure. I know, you know, I'm in line for a bit of an inheritance when the oldies die. Is this going to be better than that? Well, close your eyes for a second and listen to this from Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with people, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. There is your inheritance, Christian. If you're not a Christian, do you want that? If you are a Christian, then you are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, and you are in Christ. Perfect. Everything will be made new. Give thanks to Him who gives His people an inheritance. Let's finish up. The psalm wraps up with kind of revisiting the whole thing, but it does something very important. I don't know if you noticed in the very last verses, verses 23 to 26, they move from talking about them to talking about us. Did you see that? They move from talking about them to talking about us. See, this isn't just for a generation past. It's for us, the people of God. It is He who remembered us in our low estate and rescued us from our foes, who gives us food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for His steadfast love endures forever. This psalm is for you and for me. We are created by God. We are rescued in Jesus Christ. We have an inheritance that will never fade, kept in heaven for us. Remember the heartbeat of the psalm? His steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. Why won't it end? It's because of who God is and what God has done. God will always love you. He created you. He rescued you. And He has given you a home in heaven. So give thanks. Because his steadfast love endures forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the simple reminder, really, that you created everything, that you have rescued your people, and that you have promised an inheritance in heaven with you. Please, Father, would you help us now to go out and not forget, but remember and give you thanks in the way we live. Father, if we're not sure where we stand with you, please would you help us to see you have created us. You have rescued, you hold out rescue through Jesus Christ, and you give us a home in heaven for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please join us in a time of prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. Thank you, Lord, for you are good and your steadfast love endures forever. You created the heavens and the earth. You uphold all things by the word of your power. You sustain all people by your grace and mercy. And we thank you, Father, for your steadfast love endures forever. Lord, though oftentimes we take your creation for granted, we enjoy the wonders around us, yet we pay no heed to you who created it. We often act as if we own this planet when, in fact, Father, you created it. Forgive us, Lord.